And thank you all for standing by. At this time, I would like to remind parties that your lines are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session, at which time you may press star one to ask a question. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Glenn Nowak. Thank you, sir. You may begin.
Thank you, and thank you all for being here and for dialing in today for this update on H1N1, including the H1N1 vaccine supply and distribution. Today's update will be conducted by Dr. Thomas Frieden, the Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I will turn the podium over to Dr. Frieden. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn, and thanks for being here. What I'd like to do is update you on where we are with the virus, where we are with the vaccine, and what we're beginning to see in terms of both of them. Also to discuss some of the concerns that we've been hearing out in the field about the vaccine in particular. As of today, influenza is widespread in most of the United States. We're seeing it continuing to increase in some areas. We're seeing a slight decrease in some areas. And we know that it's now present throughout the United States. It still remains overwhelmingly H1N1 pandemic influenza. And influenza is a tough enemy. It's unpredictable, and one of our biggest challenges is continuing to anticipate what it might do next. Although there has been a slight decrease nationally and in some areas, in other areas it's still on the upswing. We wish we could predict the future, but we can't. We do know that flu season generally lasts well into May, so we've got many, many months ahead of us where we don't know what will happen and we need to take the best steps we can to protect ourselves. Vaccine efforts are starting, and all states in the U.S. have ordered vaccine. It is being delivered, and each Friday we will provide information on the amount of vaccine available to each state and the amount of vaccine which each state has ordered. That's a little complicated because, as I have explained before, what we've decided to do is make vaccine available as soon as it comes off the production line. That means that it's coming available in lots, and states learn each day of additional vaccine available to them. It's a little bit of a messy process, and we do expect it to be somewhat bumpy in the first few weeks, but this is the best way to get vaccine out and available as soon as it becomes available. This week, the flu vaccine became available in the intranasal mist variety, and next week it will begin becoming available in the injectable variety. The first flu vaccinations of the season were done yesterday in many states throughout the country with a priority on healthcare workers and children as well as people who care for infants. Flu mist being only able to be used for people who are aged 2 to 49 and who do not have an underlying health problem. With the production of this strain, we have cut no corners. This flu vaccine is made as flu vaccine is made each year by the same companies, in the same production facilities, with the same procedures, with the same safety safeguards. We have had literally hundreds of millions of people vaccinated against flu with flu vaccine made in this way. That enables us to have a high degree of confidence in the safety of the vaccine. It has an excellent safety record. We wish we had had the vaccine earlier. It would have been great to have had it back in April or May, but the current science doesn't allow us to produce it really in much less than 6 months, and that's what it has taken to produce it at this time. People have concerns about vaccination. People always have concerns about vaccination, and that's understandable. We would all rather if we didn't have to take any shots or take any medicine and could stay healthy. But vaccines are one of the truly great scientific inventions of science for going back for hundreds of years to the first vaccinations. And the flu vaccination being tried and true is very effective. What we're seeing still is an excellent match between the virus that's spreading throughout the U.S. and the strain that was chosen to make the vaccine against. So we expect a very good match, a very good degree of efficacy of the vaccine. It will work to protect you. if you get it in time. Now, there are three major concerns that people have, despite the clear message from all of us in public health and from doctors throughout the healthcare field that vaccine is our best tool to protect against the flu. Vaccine is the best tool to protect against the flu because not only does it prevent people from becoming severely ill, it also prevents the spread of flu. The first concern that we hear is, oh, flu is just a mild illness. Actually, on average, flu is not a mild illness. It can make you pretty sick, knock you out for a day or two or three, make you miss school and work, and for too many people, end up sending them to the hospital, to the intensive care unit, and tragically, some people may die from it. In fact, this year already, we've seen quite a few children who have died from flu. So although it is not a disease that will send lots of people who get it, a large proportion of people who get it to the hospital, it can be very serious. And even for those for whom it's just an average case, it's no picnic. And you'd much rather avoid it for yourself and your kids. And the best way to do that is with vaccine. The second concern we hear is that the vaccine may not be safe, that corners may have been cut, that shortcuts may have been taken, that it's a new or different vaccine. And in fact, none of that is the case. The vaccine is made in the same way it's made each year. Each year, we look at the strains that are circulating, and we select the ones that are likely to be in the population. We put those into the flu vaccine, and that is exactly what has been done in this case. It is against specifically H1N1 influenza. It is made in the same production facilities by the same companies with the same methods as it is made each year. And it is the same type of vaccine of which hundreds of millions of doses have been given. My children will get it. Other public health and societal leaders and experts will get it or have their families get it. It is something that we have a high degree of confidence in. The third concern is that it is too late for the vaccine. Well, it's too soon to say it's too late because we don't know what the rest of the season will bring. Even in places where flu has been widespread, it's affected maybe 5 or 10% of the population. That leaves 90 or 95% of the population that's still susceptible. Flu vaccine is our best tool to protect against the flu. And though we wish we had it earlier, we can't predict what the future will hold, and we know that vaccination is our best tool to reduce the impact of flu. Just to let you know where we stand now, all states have placed orders. More than 2 million doses have been ordered, nearly all of the doses that are available. More doses are becoming available each day. When the states learn that vaccine becomes available, they place an order which doesn't just order one big supply. It orders it by the provider. So the states, at each state level, they identify a certain number of people who will receive or facilities which will receive the vaccine and how many doses they will receive. The state then allocates that out to different providers to receive vaccine. There are different formulations of the vaccine, the flu mist or the shots. The shots can come in single-dose vials or multi-dose vials, and all of those have to be factored in when the ordering is done. It's then shipped from four different warehouses, temperature-controlled so that it stays at exactly the same temperature until it gets to the place where it will actually be given or further distributed to be given. If it's the shot rather than flu mist, it travels together with or at about the same time as injectable materials, needles, syringes, alcohol swabs, materials to dispose of the needles. So it's a very big and complex undertaking. It will be different in different parts of the country. Some parts of the country will do lots of school-located vaccinations. Some places won't do so much. Some places may be better prepared than others. Our goal is to help as many places as possible prepare as well as possible so they can start as soon as possible and vaccinate as large a proportion of people who want to get vaccinated as possible. And with that, I'll stop and take questions. We'll start with the room. Any questions here?
Hello, I'm Rebecca Schramm from CBS Atlanta. There seems to be some confusion in some of the states and local governments as to how to disperse the vaccine when they were given such a small amount in this initial distribution. Have you all been giving them guidance as to how to distribute the vaccine?
These are early days for vaccination. We have only a small number of doses available. The injectable medication will become, the injectable vaccine will become available next week. And initially for the flu mist, the groups that are best to vaccinate for that are young, healthy people like healthcare workers, as well as people who care for infants, as well as school children. It's really up to the state to figure out what will work best. There is not a prioritization within the priority groups. All of those groups are priority. When the shots come, we want the five key priority groups to be vaccinated first: pregnant women, healthcare workers, individuals who have underlying health problems, people who care for infants under the age of six, and school children and young adults up to the age of 24 years.
One of the questions we've gotten from some of our listeners is, if there is a problem, in the unlikely event there's a problem with the vaccine, how long before you knew it and how long before they'd know it?
There have been initial studies from the clinical trials that have shown nothing to be particularly concerned about in the trials that have been public so far. We look at that very carefully. We have a number of different systems in place using a variety of sources, including health plans and others. The vaccine problems that could occur would likely occur at a very low rate, one per 100,000, one per million, so it would take some time to know that there was a problem. On the other hand, we know that there's no reason to think there'd be more of a problem with this vaccine than with the vaccine each year. And we expect that there will be concerns for problems. For example, we know that many people each week develop health problems, whether it's a miscarriage or a heart attack or a hospitalization for a heart problem or even tragically a sudden death, and that those problems will not be prevented by the flu vaccine. So some people who get the flu vaccine will experience some bad outcome, and we will look at each report to see if it's related and if in the overall group there's any sign of an increased rate of adverse events, and we will share that information publicly. We're completely committed to transparency. We'll go to the phone for the first call.
Thank you. At this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Our first question is from Betsy McKay, Wall Street Journal. Your line is open.
Oh, hi, Dr. Frieden. Thanks. My question was about distribution. I wondered if states are learning each week how much they can order only for the next week, or do they get any advance notice of how much they'll be able to order or get later this month or in November? I mean, is advance ordering something you're able to let them do given the production schedule?
We have the anticipated schedule for the next few months. Obviously, the further out it gets, the less certainty we have. But at least for the next few weeks, we have a pretty high degree of certainty that the vaccine will be available as per what the manufacturers have told us. And we're hoping and advising states that they should be actively planning for vaccination programs, anticipating that the vaccine will be available in substantial quantity by the middle of October. In the room?
Hi. Thank you. Mike Stobie from the AP. Doctor, could you just give us an updated number about how many doses will be available this week? I think you used the figure 2 million. Also, I want to ask you, is demand outstripping supply or supply outstripping demand at this point?
This week, as of yesterday, about 2.4 million doses were available for ordering. About 2.2 million of them had been drawn down or ordered by this week. Each day, as more vaccine is cleared, more vaccine becomes available for ordering, and we'll be providing each Friday the totals, some of which would only have become available that Thursday or Friday. As I said earlier, we're really trying to make sure that we cut as much time as possible off of the cycles to get it out and available for providers to vaccinate. And to do that means a little bit of messiness with how it comes out. Each day, each state checks for their allocation. If there's a problem, even a minor problem, with any of the vaccine in any of the warehouses, we don't have it available for ordering. We need to make sure it's safe, it has been temperature controlled, that everything has worked well before we will allow it to be released to the states. So there is some lack of certainty, but we have a high degree of confidence that by mid-October we'll have substantial amounts of flu vaccine available. Clearly, at this point, where we have only some vaccine and not everyone can receive that vaccine, demand is outstripping supply. We expect that fairly soon supply may well begin outstripping demand. The challenge will be to try to ensure that the people who would benefit the most have every opportunity to be vaccinated. On the phone?
Our next question is from Alice Park, Time Magazine. Your line is open.
Thank you. I just had a question about the supply issue. Looking ahead, did the calculations that the CDC made as far as the ordering include the potential that more and more individual entities would mandate the vaccine for their healthcare workers, for example? I understand that in New York, which has mandated it for the entire state, that right now they're having some problems with getting the seasonal vaccine in enough supply. So could you just address whether those initial calculations took into account that there might be more entities mandating the vaccine and therefore you might have a higher rate of compliance or demand for the vaccine than you have in previous seasons?
We are very confident that there will be plenty of vaccine for everyone who wants to be vaccinated. Unfortunately, it will not be available when everyone would like to be vaccinated. We're getting it out as rapidly as possible. States are signing up providers. Providers will then receive it directly from the manufacturer, and the information should be available to the public through the State Health Department, either website or call numbers, to find out the details of where it will be available. But that's not ready quite yet because there is not a large quantity of vaccine available today out there to be given for H1N1. Seasonal flu vaccine, although there are some areas that have had less, there are well over 50 million doses already distributed, earlier than is distributed generally in each flu season. So we're confident that there will be plenty of both seasonal and H1N1 vaccine for people who want to be vaccinated, and we're particularly prioritizing those key groups that I spoke of earlier. On the phone?
The next is from Karen Denise, CNN. Your line is open.
Thank you for taking my question. Are you seeing any mutation in the virus at this point, and are you concerned at some point that the vaccine will not match the virus as we continue through the season and we get seasonal flu and H1N1 both out there?
Our biggest concern is that the virus could change, could mutate to become more deadly. We've seen nothing to suggest that that would be the case so far. In fact, the virus has been quite stable genetically, so it hasn't changed much at all from when it first emerged back in April and May to the most recent samples that are available from laboratories around the country and around the world. The part of the virus that determines whether or not it's very deadly is a different part of the virus that determines whether or not it's going to be you're going to be protected by the vaccine. That's good news because it means that the vaccine that we have now, which is very effective, very highly, tightly matched with the virus that's spreading, is likely to protect you even if this virus were to become more deadly, more virulent. And the match is excellent right now. Of the more than 1,000 samples that have been looked at from around the world, the vaccine strain is right in the middle of that genetic variability, and the variability is very small. That means that we do expect that there's going to be a high level of match and a high level of effectiveness for this particular vaccine against this particular virus. But clearly, the most concerning possibility is the possibility that it could mutate either to become more deadly or not to match the vaccine strain. Right now, neither of those things has happened. On the phone, one more, another from the phone.
Robert Bazell, NBC News, your line is open.
Thank you. Several municipalities, state health departments, local health departments, have had to cancel seasonal vaccine influenza programs because of they have not gotten orders when they wanted to. And San Francisco and some other places have had to cancel novel vaccine programs that they had because it becomes clear that even though they placed an order and perhaps even been promised an order on a certain date, the vaccine ends up not coming. Can we expect a lot of that in the days and weeks and months ahead?
As we anticipate, the first couple of weeks are going to be rough, a bit bumpy, as we get the supply chain worked out, as the manufacturers deliver or don't deliver on time, as there are problems identified or not identified with some of the initial shipments. But I think what we're seeing now is the tap beginning to flow. We're seeing a substantial quantity of vaccine beginning to get out. In an average flu season, we get out about 25 million doses per month. And we're going to have, by the middle of this month, within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're going to have tens of millions of doses available. So I think, although it won't be everywhere, it will be widely available in the next few weeks. And from that point on, I think we're going to be comfortable overall with supply, increasingly comfortable as the season goes on. From the room.
Thank you, Dr. Frieden, for doing this. I'm Beth Galvin with Fox 5. What would you say to people who are not in the priority group right now, who are very eager and might become frustrated if they don't get the vaccine soon? What would your advice be for them?
One of the groups that can get vaccinated right now are if there's vaccine available locally, are people who are healthy, aged 25 to 49, who can get FluMist. That's not one of the priority groups, and there is vaccine available. But it is going to be a while before a vaccine is widely available. We wish it were available for everyone now. The technology just doesn't enable that to happen. Perhaps in a few years we'll have new technologies which will allow that to happen, but that doesn't help us for this year. And for this year, we ask people to remember that there are simple things you can do to protect yourself against the flu. You can stay home if you're sick, very important. Cover your mouth when you cough or sneeze, and wash your hands often. Those three simple things can make a really big difference in how widely flu spreads in a community. On the phone?
The next is from Lauren Neergard, Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I have kind of a technical question that has to do with ensuring that children under 10 get their two doses. I wonder what advice you're giving to some of these providers like school vaccination programs to make sure that they actually have enough on hand to give the kids the second dose. Are you telling them to, you know, to plan ahead and parcel out that much and keep it on hand for the 3-week return visit?
We do anticipate that children age 9 and below will need two doses, though we don't have the final data on that yet. We ask that places not hold vaccine back. More will be coming, so vaccinate as many people as you can now, and then that second dose, which is given generally 3 to 4 weeks after the first dose, there'll be plenty more to provide then. On the phone?
The next is from John Cohen, Science Magazine. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. You said you had an anticipated schedule. Could you tell us what that is or make it public? And also, you said that right now that supply isn't meeting demand, yet that conflicted with the request for the 2.4 million doses only being 2.2 million.
We can provide information, and we will, each Friday. It's information that changes really day to day as the manufacturers figure out how much is actually ready for shipping. And to clarify, vaccine goes from the manufacturers to a central distributor, and from the central distributor onward to providers or to health departments to actually vaccinate. I'm sorry, the second part of your question was about supply and demand. The 2.4 million available was the first 2.4 million doses. Some states were figuring out exactly where they wanted to spend or send those doses, and so far nearly all of that, 2.2 million, has been called down. It will take some time to get the whole system from the manufacturer through through the distributor to the providers and to people who want to get vaccinated up and running. So one of the things that this week and next will provide is something of a dry run, though there's not enough vaccine around. And though we wish we had more, some people can get vaccinated, and it will also get us ready to get a running start on vaccination come mid to late October.
Thanks, Mike from the AP again. Doctor, you mentioned once or twice the possibility of, in such a situation, if a problem was identified in the shipments, I guess, at the production facility. Has that happened yet? Have there been any problems identified with the swine flu vaccine?
There's been no vaccine that's been found to be problematic in any way, but each year, each time we do vaccination programs, we're meticulous at tracking and tracing each of the lots of vaccine. That is particularly important, not just to ensure that that's safe, but also if there's a problem, either with safety or with it seeming not to work, low efficacy, to know was there any point in the chain at which the cold chain was compromised, in which it went too cold or too warm for the narrow band that it's supposed to be in. So it's just a question of verifying that things are working well. We have not had any vaccine so far rejected because of any problem. Two more questions on the phone.
The next is from Todd Neal, MedPage Today. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. I have a couple non-vaccine questions. I was wondering how hospitals and emergency departments across the country are faring during this outbreak. Are hospitals being overwhelmed or stressed to capacity in any parts of the country from the influx of patients with H1N1? And also, is CDC making any recommendations about restricting visitation to patients hospitalized with suspected or confirmed H1N1?
What we've seen in places with lots of H1N1 are real stresses, particularly on the emergency departments, and largely from people who are coming in because they're very worried about influenza, may have influenza, but probably don't need to be in a hospital emergency department. On the other hand, if you've got an underlying health condition, if you're pregnant, if you've got diabetes or heart disease or lung disease or a child with difficulty breathing, then it's very important when you have the flu to get treated promptly. So it's a complicated message, and getting that understood and acted on effectively in communities throughout the U.S. is very challenging. So we do see some stresses on emergency departments. We have not so far seen problems with intensive care units being overwhelmed with people who need respiratory support or ventilatory support to begin breathing machines, but that's something that we are tracking closely because that would be a great concern. One of the things that hospitals can do to reduce the risk is to limit the number of visitors, but that's a balance between the emotional well-being and recovery of the patient, so that's something that we can provide general information for healthcare facilities about, but really is a facility-by-facility decision at this point. One more question on the phone.
The next is from Robert Lowes from Medscape. Your line is open.
Yes. Dr. Frieden, I have two questions. One is, there are recommendations to have patients who have underlying conditions receive a pneumonia vaccine. Is there any concern in your agency that there may not be enough pneumonia vaccine?
Pneumonia vaccine is effective, it works, and it's underused. We need more people to get pneumonia vaccine, and if you get the flu, it protects you against one of the more serious complications of flu. At this point, we have not seen a shortage of pneumonia vaccine in the market, and we hope, in contrast, that we'll see an increased uptake of pneumonia vaccine. You had a second question.
Yes. There is one poll which, by the Harvard Public School of Health, that showed that only about 50% of American adults plan to get vaccinated, and only about 40% were absolutely certain they would. Are you going to do anything special to respond to that, lack of motivation to get vaccinated? Any special program or outreach planned?
There have been several different polls. They're somewhat variable in their findings. Most of them find that most people want to and plan to get vaccinated. What will actually happen will depend on lots of things, how easy it is to get vaccinated. People don't like going out of their way to get vaccinated. And addressing the three concerns that I talked about earlier, understanding that flu isn't always mild. It can kill you. Understanding that this vaccine is made in the same way that seasonal flu vaccine is made, hundreds of millions of doses with an excellent safety record. And understanding that even though flu may already be here in your community or may even already be decreasing in your community, it's a great idea to get vaccinated because you don't know what the rest of this long flu season is going to hold. We have not had a flu season like this in at least 50 years. Unless there are any other questions from the room, I think, well, thank you very much for your interest. It is a real challenge to balance for the public information about the vaccine, information about the virus, understanding whether it's in the cases of emergency departments. You need to get care promptly on the one hand if you're really sick or if you have an underlying health condition, but not to go to the emergency department if you've only got an average flu and can see your doctor or care for yourself at home. And similarly with vaccine, to understand that people do have concerns about safety and about whether it's necessary, but in fact, the flu vaccine is our best weapon against the flu, and I think we're fortunate to have the vaccine here. Would have been great to have it earlier, but it is starting to become available, and over the next few weeks will become widely available. Thank you very much.